This is MFG Out Loud. Courageous conversations about sales and marketing for today's manufacturers. With your hosts, Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore.
Hey, Trailblazers. Welcome to another edition of MFG Out Loud. Today, we have a really special guest. For the last 25 years, Ben Baker has worked with people to tell their story, both inside and outside the organization. For nearly 13 years, he's been the founder and president of Your Brand Marketing. Ben is also a keynote speaker and the creator of the Developing the Leader in You hybrid workshop series. Focusing on brand leadership, internal communications, and employee engagement strategies, which is what drew Ray and I to him. The iHeart, Spotify, and iTunes syndicated podcast, Your Living Brand Out Live, which I encourage you all to check out. Ben Baker, welcome to MFG Out Loud.
Allison, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to this. We're going to have a lot of fun.
I think so, too. And I made a couple notes here so that I didn't leave anything out. You know, I just like to throw this out. How Ben and I met was on LinkedIn. And the reason that I like to give a shout out to them is that I've been an active user and a fan since before it was cool to be on LinkedIn. So I think like 15 years. And it's just really been a gift for me, for my business. It's how I met Ray. And now you. So, and I think our affinity for healthy culture inside a company and how that affects the outside with marketing, just, you know, the universe brought us together. So that's how we ended up.
Absolutely.
And today we're going to play in your sandbox and give the manufacturing trailblazers listening insights into leading your team in the new normal.
And perfect.
Right. And in order to engage, retain, and grow your employees, I know that you're a big believer, and I agree with you, in, you know, marketing isn't just happening outside your company. It's got to be happening inside, right? Your employees have to buy into and believe in your cult, you know, that's what that culture is, right? They believe in your why and are all there working together instead of siloed, which we will probably talk about here shortly. Mm-hmm. So you also enlightened me on the cost of replacing an employee, the average cost being around $100,000. So again, this is such a critical time to, you know, Ray and I have talked about this before too. Instead of furloughing, for example, you know, half your sales team, would it be better to, you know, repurpose them, but keep them until such time when you can put them back into full swing? So that's just one example. But the point being is that it's more cost effective to nurture and care for what you already have than to constantly have that turnover. So with that, I would love for you to just kind of start because, you know, you have a lot to say on this topic. So where would you like to jump in?
Well, I mean, thanks for that. It's an interesting topic. You're right. I mean, every employee that you lose costs you $100,000 to replace. And the thought behind that is it's not just the dollar and cents of termination paperwork, you know, putting the ad in the newspaper, you know, getting a few resumes, interviewing a couple people and bringing them back onto the workforce. It's all the costs that people don't see. You know, there are enormous amount of costs that people don't see. It's the frustration within the office because six people are now down to five and they're doing the work of six. It's the fact that jobs are getting missed, you know, that things are being missed within the office. Customers are leaving. Employees are taking customers with them. You know, if a key employee leaves, they may take another employees with them. There's all sorts of things that can be brought into that. And we need to take a look at our employees and sit there and say, look, these are the advocates for our brand. These are our brand ambassadors. These are the people that are dealing with our customers day in and day out. And if they're not happy, the expression I have is your brand is only as valuable as your unhappiest employee on their worst day. Let me say that again. It's your brand is as valuable as your unhappiest employee on their worst day. And it's something that people need to sink in, that unless our people within the company understand what you do, believe in what you do, advocate for what you do, and want to be part of being the ones that move this company forward, they're a hindrance. They're not help. And it's up to leaders, and I'm not talking just senior management. I'm talking about people at all levels, from frontline managers, directors, VPs, you know, senior VPs, all the way up, to lead people, not to manage them. You manage process, you lead people. And that's a big part of what we do.
And don't you feel like it's also important to not just lead, but train others, right, to be leaders as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the biggest thing, the biggest problem a lot of companies have is they don't train somebody to lead, if they train someone to lead at all, until they get to senior management.
Right.
And somebody, it's the Peter Principle. For those people who are unfamiliar with the Peter Principle, is you're hired to your level of incompetence. Or sorry, you're promoted to your level of incompetence. So you have a whole bunch of people out there that were really good tacticians. They're really good at what they do. They, you know, excel at it. They're really, really good at doing a task. And then you get them to manage somebody because, you know what, they're really good at it. We're going to get them to manage a team doing this type of thing. Well, the problem is they may not know how to train people. They may not know how to inspire people. They may not know how to motivate people, how to coach people, how to instill that knowledge in the next generation. So the problem is if all of a sudden we're not giving people those skills that they need until they're vice presidents, there's a lot of havoc and chaos that's happening at the lower ranks. But if we sit there and say, okay, let's give everybody a chance to lead, you know, whether it's lead a meeting, whether it lead a project, lead whatever, and give them the ability to sit there and take these two or three people and say, you're in charge this time, let's figure this out, and how would you put this together? And you're responsible for the outcome, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and then do the debrief, how well did they do it? Not just point fingers, just say, you know what went well, what didn't go well? You know, what could we have done better? You know, what were the challenges that you had? Where did you need input from other people that you never got it? And give them the insights to understand how to get better. And that's what true leadership is. It's getting up every morning and saying, what am I going to do today to make my team better?
Yeah.
And how am I going to give them the tools to succeed?
Absolutely. And I wanted to throw this in. Robin Sharma is a mentor that I've followed for years, and he has this fantastic saying, and it's make every employee the CEO of their own SBU. So make every, this is, which is exactly what you just said, make every employee responsible and teach them to lead their own small business unit. So mm-hmm. No matter what the department or what the team, if they treat it as such, being an owner of something, you act entirely different than if you're just a follower, right?
Absolutely. And as we become more of a diversified workforce, as we have more of a hybrid workforce where some of the people are going to go back to the office and some people aren't, the way to keep everybody engaged is to make them leaders. You know, they may be leading something that's small and, you know, and they're going to have to level up and all that, but they're learning through the whole process and they're taking ownership and they're taking pride. And when people are empowered and they have ownership and pride of something, they're going to do it better. And they're going to say, how can I do this better? How can I make this more effective? And what can I do to make sure that not only I succeed, but my team succeeds and therefore the unit, the division, and the company as a whole? So it's all about giving people the pride within the company.
Yeah.
And that comes with a sense of ownership and leadership.
Yeah. Ray, do you have anything?
Let me ask you something. Yeah, because I think, you know, regardless of the circumstances, I mean, we're in the midst of the COVID pandemic right now, and I think everything you've just said, regardless of circumstances, are all foundational elements of world-class leadership, okay? And it's like, you know, I hear those things, and I'm thinking, wow, at this point in my career, I wish I had learned, I had had a proactive way to learn those things throughout my career, as opposed to, you know, I've had my moments in the Peter Principle and own it, but I wonder, in the current environment, and Alice and I have talked about this before, you know, COVID is forcing a level of, it's forcing change upon us. I'm curious if that, what your thoughts are on that leadership model that you've just explained. What happens as that impacts our culture? Because I know company culture plays a big role in that, because that model is going to work differently, right?
First of all, we're in a watershed moment. Everybody has to understand that. What worked in the past, as in we're talking 90 days ago, is not how we're going to be doing things moving forward. There's going to be elements. We're going to take best practices. But every single company has to evaluate where they are and where they're going. It's critical. It's absolutely critical. And that's management style. That's leadership ability. That's communication. That's, you know, purpose, culture. Everything is going to have to be evaluated moving forward. But leadership is about people. It always has been about people. It always should be about people. And it hopefully always will be about people. It's about being able to communicate effectively. It's about being able to give people a sense of purpose and understand how those people have a role in the future success of the company. And I think that if you look at leadership that way, leadership becomes more and more important as we go forward, because it's giving people, especially people that are coming back to the office, and they're coming back very unsure. They're scared. They don't know if their job is secure. They don't know where the company is going. Is the company going to be around in a year? You know, there's all sorts of things that are coming to fruition. You know, is a major customer going to go under and therefore drag them down with it? Good leadership is thinking about all these sort of things. And they're sitting there going, how do we effectively communicate where we've been, where we are, where we're going? I've been having conversation after conversation after conversation about the need to re-onboard every single employee, because there's been small changes, there's been big changes, you know, and there's some of those changes are actually fundamental. And we need to understand not what's changed, but why it's changed and how it's going to affect our future, because that's how we get buy-in from employees. How we get buy-in is because people understand why things have changed and how that's going to make their lives better. And when they can internalize that, when they can believe in it, when they see a path forward and light at the end of the tunnel, they're going to sprint run towards it, because they see that success and they see how they're part of it. If people feel they're being kept in the dark and they don't know whether the company is going to survive or it's not going to survive, you know, whether we're having a good time or not having a good time, whatever, they're going to start looking to say, okay, who else around us is being successful? I'm quitting. I'm going there.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of companies that, if they can't communicate effectively to their employees, if they can't show them a clear path forward, or at least, hey, listen, we made this mistake. We're trying. We experimented this way. That didn't go well. This is what we learned from it. And this is how we're augmenting and changing going forward again. You know, people can accept that. But what they can't accept is leadership in a vacuum.
Yeah. Right. One of the things you talk about in some of your writings and the other podcasts you participate in, you talk about that story of 2020 that's being written, you know, kind of as we speak right now. And it occurred to me how powerful that re-onboarding moment is. You know, it's one of those watershed moments in and of itself for the sufficiently self-aware leader that can say, man, I wasn't doing it as well as I should have before. Mm-hmm. In a stable environment, if you come in and say, today it's going to be different, I'm going to, you know, be empathetic, transparent, people are going to go, well, let's see.
Yeah, right.
He or she, you know, yeah. They're going to be like, this is the, you know, management technique du jour. In an environment like this, it really is that chance to say, where's the whole thing starting over, you know, and invite everybody in. We're in this together, as you say, draw them into the solutions. And I'd love to hear more of your thoughts on that, because I think it's so – this is one of those once-in-a-career moments for managers and leaders.
Well, you know? There has to be some vulnerability for leadership, because none of us know everything. None of us saw this coming. I mean, we might have seen an economic downturn coming. Yes. We might have seen some changes happening in the economy. Nobody saw what has happened over the last 90, 120 days, depending on whether, you know, how far back you want to take it. It's just something that is something we were completely unprepared for, to take, you know, whether it's taking 10 employees home or 10,000 employees home almost overnight. No one's done that. I mean, think of it. The last economic downturn was 2008. Most people who were in leadership positions were in high school or elementary or university. When that happened, they've never had to lay off people. They've never had to build systems overnight. I've heard of companies, 90,000 people, where they had to create a new Teams environment for their staff in 3 days. I mean, these are unheard of times, and mistakes were made. Every single company made mistakes, but they made it with the best intentions. They said, look, we've got to take care of our people. We got to take care of our customers. We got to take care of things. We're going to do this because we don't know any better at this point in time. This is the information we have. We need to make a decision. So we went. Sometimes they got it right. Sometimes they didn't get it right. But it's the leaders that sit there and say, you know what? We made mistakes. We're going to continue to make mistakes, but we're going to make it based on what we believe is in the best interest of the people within this organization and the customers we serve. And if we focus all of our attention on those two groups of people, and hopefully vendors as well, hopefully you take care of your vendors as well. But if you can look at things and go, okay, we're doing this with best intentions. We're going to make mistakes. All right, what happened? All right, something happened, something went wrong. Okay, let's scrum huddle the organization and sit there and say, what happened? How do we fix this? Where do we go from here? And put the fingers back in your jeans pockets. Don't point them at people. And just say, you know what? These things are going to happen because we don't have perfect knowledge. You know, not even Google has perfect knowledge on this position. So we need to give ourselves a break and say, we need somebody who's got an expertise in this, bring them in. You know, have conversations with your staff and say, what are you seeing within the branch? What are you talking, when you're talking to your customers, what are you hearing? When you're talking to your friends, what are you hearing? And say, how do we pivot? How do we, you know, augment our services, our product offering, our policies, our procedures in order to make things better? The more we can be inclusive and say, what do you think? You know, we don't have to take every single suggestion and make it law as leaders, but if we listen to them and we listen to them critically and sit there and say, you know what, that's not a bad idea, but what if we did this? And be able to augment the information, take it together and amalgamate it. And I think we're going to be better leaders because of that. And our teams are going to appreciate it because we didn't try to make decisions from on high without any input, without listening, without understanding, without valuing people. You know, if we do that, we're making ourselves tone deaf to the needs of our people internally and externally, and we're gonna become a commodity. But if we amalgamate our people and instead talk to our clients and say, what do you think? You talk to our employees and say, what do you think? And then take all that information and go, all right, let's make the best, you know, move based on the information we have, we're probably gonna do much better.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. And one thing I was thinking about that I really wanted to ask your thoughts on, what do you think holds companies back from doing this kind of work?
You have two things. You have leaders, and I'm talking leaders at any level, that are afraid to look stupid. Let's call it what it is. You know, people are afraid of change. They're afraid of their own personal reputation. They're afraid of the brand reputation. And they're afraid of looking weak. And I think now is the time to take those attitudes and throw them out the window. The other thing that people are is they're risk adverse. A lot of people are just terrified of change. And they're afraid of doing something that they think may fail. And even if it's going to fail, that's a horrible thing. today is the time we need to be experimenting. We've almost set the clock back to zero for every single company. And we're at a position where those who are going to sit there and take calculated risks and are going to try new innovative things, try be creative and try to move forward based on that, are probably going to come up with some pretty incredible things. You know, the people that are going to try to go back, well, things were like this in December 2019. We're just going to go back exactly the way it is. And we're going to do things exactly the way we did, are going to get either left behind or they're going to get left in the dust. You know, and that's reality, because the world is not going to accept the same old, same old. You know, they're going to look to people that are going to be innovative, that are going to be creative, that are going to look at the situation differently because the situation has changed and are not tone deaf to the new realities.
Yeah. We're getting close to wrap up time, but I had another question that was intriguing to me. What do people get most out of the workshops that you do? Like, I'm really curious, is there kind of a, because I'm sure you've seen patterns emerge. Some of the biggest, I guess, feedback, comments, results for people who have, you know, come in and do the Leader in You workshop or one of the new ones, you know, for creating the new normal.
Yeah, I think that the biggest insights that people get when they leave my workshops, and just so you know, it's not a one and done type thing. Most of the things that I do have ongoing 6-month engagements where I'm meeting with people on a monthly basis after we've created it to go over and say, okay, what's gone on, and let's figure this out from here, because people are going to try things and it's not going to work and we've got to figure it out again. And that's okay. I think the biggest thing that people learn from working with me, the biggest aha moment, is communication. And understanding that we need to listen to, understand, and value everybody within the company. And that we need to stop siloing companies, and the focus needs to be on the customer. You know, the big focus needs to be on the customer. It's not about my department. It's not about my budget. It's not about my, you know, my status within the company. It's about how does our company serve our customers better? And when you take the focus off the me versus you internally, and my budget versus your budget, my territory versus your territory, and say, how do we all work together to make the customer better? Then really amazing things happen. And I think it's really comes down to effective communication and effective listening and caring.
Yeah, I think that last part, people claim to care, but I don't think they demonstrate that caring. And I think we should save de-siloing. The episodes on de-siloing, but I think that would be another episode just on that.
Yeah.
I would be up for that one. I would be absolutely up for that one. I'm convinced silos within, you know, companies 50 people and above probably cost them $1 million a year, and they don't even realize it.
Yeah.
Easy. You know, the number may be, I may be off on the number a little bit, but the amount of money that's wasted within organizations because of siloing is staggering.
Yeah.
And that's all bottom line money.
Yeah.
Well, Ray, do you want to close us out here? I mean, go on.
No question. This could go on a long time. Ben, really, really appreciate you spending some time with us today. I've enjoyed talking to you. I've enjoyed listening to some of your past podcasts and interviews. You're that rare breed of, I'll say, consultants, because you actually stick around and help solve the problems that you find. And I think that's so important. I had a boss years ago who used to always say, what are you, a problem identifier or a problem solver? And what people need, if you're going to drive long-term changes, you got to stick around to see it through.
So. Absolutely.
So thrilled you were with us. Can't wait for the next conversation that we have. Allison, we got our tagline. You got a sharing is caring. we need all you folks out there. If you enjoyed what you heard today, we're sure glad you're joining us and you're hanging out with us. And we would love for you to tell a friend, like what you hear, come back and join us again, because we've got some more guests lined up, hopefully of the caliber of Mr. Ben Baker. We do appreciate you hanging out with us. We hear you. We see you. We know you're out there. Remember to keep manufacturing out loud, and we do need you. Take care, everybody. Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to MFG Out Loud with Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore. You can subscribe and find show notes at mfgoutloud.com.